This podcast is a production of KCRW.
Just a warning before we get started, this episode contains strong language.
After the murder of Brian Prentice at Veterans Row, some people in the neighborhood felt enough is enough. If the VA and all the social service organizations it works with couldn't get Veterans Row off the street, the community would call in someone they believed could, LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva.
He is an Air Force veteran. He has a doctorate. He has been focused on law enforcement in the county for a very long time.
This is Michelle Biznoff introducing Sheriff Villanueva during a meeting of the Brentwood Community Council. It's August 2021, and the meeting's happening over Zoom.
He's our first Spanish-speaking sheriff, which is kind of amazing to me, Sheriff, that you're the first. And I welcome you this evening. Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for the opportunity.
At the time of this meeting, Sheriff Villanueva is one of LA's most divisive elected officials. He's facing a very tough re-election campaign. He's here because he's staking that campaign on people who are fed up with LA's homelessness crisis. When he ran for office a few years ago, Villanueva was an unknown retired lieutenant, a registered Democrat, and gave off a low-key vibe.
I'm Alex Villanueva, and I'm running for sheriff of Los Angeles County. I've been a cop for 32 years, and I'm not a politician. I'm not a bureaucrat. I'm a reformer. I'm a veteran. I'm a progressive, and I will fully support.
Once in office, Villanueva took a sharp right political turn, going from I'm a progressive to regularly slamming LA's lefty politicians on Fox News.
What we see, we have a very elite political class. I call them the woke privilege crowd. They're still insisting on defunding here in LA County.
In short, he turned out to be not so low-key. He was combative and controversial. And his controversies were not just about his right-leaning politics in deep blue Los Angeles. Villanueva also turned a lot of people off with a series of scandals. At the Brentwood Community Council's Zoom meeting, it doesn't take long for one of Villanueva's controversies to come up when a guy named Toby raises his hand.
So I'm one of many people who has had the sad experience of watching their family members struggle for breath in the intensive care unit from COVID. So I was very surprised to see you go on CNN to talk about why you weren't enforcing the mask mandate and why you refused to enforce the stay-at-home order. I also saw that on your website, it says that masks are, quote, not...
Okay, you know what, Toby, tonight's conversation, no, Toby.
Michelle's quick to mute Toby and redirect the conversation.
Tonight's conversation is about homelessness. Tonight's conversation is about homelessness.
See, since COVID hit, a lot more camps and tent cities have popped up all over LA. And Sheriff Villanueva, on TV, in ads, and in community meetings like this one, has been channeling the frustration a lot of people feel.
Our main problem right now is that the city and the county have abandoned one of their main obligations, which is regulating public space.
Recently, he got into a very public fight with LA city officials over a high-profile encampment at Venice Beach, a little bit west of Brentwood. When city officials did oversee a cleanup in Venice, a lot of people credited Villanueva for making it happen.
I think one of the very first questions that people are going to have and want answered this evening is it possible for you to do the same thing on San Vicente that's going on in Venice?
And the sheriff says yes, he can. He knows how to get rid of homeless camps so well, he has it down to a science.
The five-step process is a 30-day process from start to finish.
30 days to get rid of an encampment. Just like that, the days of Veterans Row are numbered. I'm Anna Scott. This is City of Tents, Veterans Row. Episode 4, The Sheriff's in Town. During the Brentwood Community Council Zoom meeting, Villanueva introduces Lieutenant Jeff Diedrich, who's here to explain more about that five-step, 30-day process, which the Sheriff's Department calls the Encampment Resolution Protocol.
Every encampment resolution protocol we've done has been successful.
Lieutenant Diedrich is the head of a special unit devoted full-time to clearing homeless encampments. It's called HOST, which stands for Homeless Outreach Services Team. Everyone calls it the HOST team, though, even though, yes, the T in HOST does stand for team. Lieutenant Diedrich describes the HOST team like the SEAL Team 6 of homeless camp removal.
Those are the most highly trained professional deputies probably in the world. We do come with a high pedigree. We come with a high standard, and that's what the sheriff expects of us. And that's why he sends us. He's not sending in a community policing team. He's sending in the HOST team. It's a big deal. We're being requested. You don't even want to know. All over. Heck, we're now being requested to go to other states.
Diedrich says the HOST team doesn't just muscle unhoused people out of the way. They help them off the streets, starting with a person-by-person assessment of every encampment they clear.
Our assessment is very specific, very detailed, and we do not push people anywhere else.
I'm familiar with the HOST team. We've dealt with them numerous times through 2019 and early 2020.
It's the day after the Zoom meeting. I'm at Veterans Row, and Rob Reynolds, the unofficial manager of the camp, remembers the HOST team from his own time out here on San Vicente Boulevard. And he says so do other veterans, not fondly.
They'd get all their stuff thrown away. If they weren't able to move their stuff fast enough, they'd get it all thrown away. So you'd have guys that would come here to try to get services. They would be told, like, even to get into the domiciliary, they'd be told they have to go on a wait list. And the police would come through and throw away their cell phone, and all their stuff would get trashed. And that would happen all the time. Despite what people say, that stuff got thrown away a lot. I think that the sheriff is just doing all this for his own political gain.
Yet, surprisingly to me, Rob is also thinking about how to turn the sheriff into an ally. Maybe the HOST team can get the homeless service providers that work at Veterans Row to speed up. See, until recently, several nonprofits came to Veterans Row every Thursday morning to try to move people into shelter or housing. The outreach ramped up in the weeks after Brian Prentice's murder. But then, after a couple of months, it dropped off again.
I can't understand why all the entities that get all this money to take care of the homeless aren't out here at the minimum on a weekly basis sitting here and just going through all the paperwork and keeping track of everybody. That's not what they're doing. I mean, just let them know the facts. We know what everybody out here is waiting for.
Some are waiting to get into programs on the VA campus. Others are waiting for rental vouchers that they can take to landlords. And some are on wait lists for apartments. And pretty soon after this conversation, Rob scores something of a victory. He helps arrange a town hall meeting between the veterans, the HOST team, and officials from the VA. The sheriff's deputies have agreed to hear directly from the homeless veterans before starting their 30-day countdown.
What are the lies that they're going to be telling everybody?
Oh, well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is part of our team, so we'll start off with...
And I have to say, when the morning of the town hall comes, I've never seen anything like it before. A formal sit-down between law enforcement and an unhoused community facing a sweep. The veterans are sitting in white folding chairs, set up in rows on a VA parking lot under a shade canopy.
So everybody, this is Lieutenant Diedrich.
Some of the HOST deputies are veterans themselves.
So we had to bring all the crayon eaters.
That's a deputy making a crack about crayon eaters, a derogatory term for Marines. The head of HOST, Lieutenant Jeff Diedrich, is here. He's not a veteran. He's a big guy with pale skin and light reddish hair. When it's time for Q&A, an Army veteran named Gabriel Phillips raises his hand. He used to stay on Veterans Row, but is currently sheltered in a motel room. Gabriel is on a wait list to move into a brand new apartment building specifically for homeless veterans, and he's here for a reason.
I just had a question because we have a situation more pertinent to what's going on with the veterans right now, which is they built a building for veterans solely, and they were supposed to be open on May 1st.
Here on the property?
No, not on the property. It's in the community. But it's a building solely for veterans, and it's supposed to have opened on May 1st.
But now it's August. About 10 veterans from Veterans Row are waiting to get into this building. Actually, they were all supposed to have moved in as a group together. Many have been looking forward to it for that reason. But instead, after multiple delays, only a few people have moved in, one by one.
And that's disheartening to all these veterans out here who have all done the same thing, filled out the same paperwork, went through the same process, but yet they're handpicking who they want to put in there, one by one.
Can HOST, with its special skills, help out?
I filled out my paperwork. I went to the building. They showed me my future space. And now I'm still sitting in limbo as I watch other people go in one by one. And it's not just me.
Are you ready to go right now?
I'm ready to go right now.
Diedrich turns to the rows of veterans in folding chairs and tells them, this is exactly the kind of thing HOST does. Cuts red tape.
This issue right here, I think we can impact it today. I think. If there's openings and they're ready to take them, that is where we can cut through some of those obligations that we can. It might even be taking somebody. Hell, pretty. We'll take it for the first time in the front seat of a police car. If it's simply transportation, you never know. But the HOST team does cut through those obstacles. So I'll talk with Gabriel.
Throughout this meeting, directors of this VA campus where we're gathered look on, watching and listening, sometimes jumping in with an answer. It seems like, at this moment, there's some sense of alliance forming between HOST and the veterans. But what does the VA want here? After the Q&A, I catch up with Matt McGarren, the guy in charge of the VA's homelessness programs. I ask what he thinks the HOST team brings to the table that the VA and the organizations they work with haven't.
Hopefully this idea that the sheriffs are here and that the cleanup is maybe inevitable, that it will be cleaned up, it'll motivate some of the veterans to go ahead and get some help now, rather than just waiting on the street until something else comes along.
It seems to me like the VA and the social service providers who work at Veterans Row could use some motivation too.
What has happened with all the outreach that it seems like Thursday mornings used to be a big day here where you would see a lot of different groups, and it's kind of fallen off in recent weeks.
Yeah, we don't have, so a lot of the outreach was done by other organizations like the LA County Department of Mental Health. And I'm not sure why they're not coming out here. This is not all the homeless people in LA County. This row got more resources than other encampments do get. So I'm sure they're out trying to reach other homeless veterans also.
When the town hall wraps up, the HOST team members say they'll return soon to officially start their 30-day encampment resolution protocol, which will culminate in sending in sanitation crews with loaders and dump trucks to tear the camp down. I'm not sure if I just witnessed an earnest rap session or a dog and pony show, but it feels like a hopeful development.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Hey, I made this video to show you the homeless situation. And this is Brentwood, Los Angeles, a very affluent, expensive, bougie area of Los Angeles. So I did the same thing a year ago just to show how much it's progressed.
This is the voice of John Philipko. He's the live-in manager at an apartment building across the street from Veterans Row. You met him in episode 1. John is one of many Angelenos angry about LA's homelessness crisis. And in 2020 and 2021, he posts videos about it to YouTube, including this one, showing drone footage of Veterans Row. The camera moves from the line of tents that make up Veterans Row to the patio of an Italian restaurant on John's side of the street.
You see, like, you know, just wealthy people sitting there eating, you know, drinking $20 drinks, looking across the street at a barbecue in the middle of the road. And it's just surprising that nothing's been done.
This is a really widespread sentiment in LA, that homelessness is out of control and nothing is being done, especially in the last 6 or 7 years. Not because homelessness is a new problem, but it's no longer contained. For decades, LA city officials deliberately concentrated services and shelter and low-income housing in a 50-block area near downtown L.A. known as Skid Row. And that's where most of L.A.'s unhoused stayed. And a lot of people were fine with that. Homelessness, historically, was a political hot potato in Los Angeles. Local politicians avoided talking about it at all. It was only after the crisis spilled beyond the borders of Skid Row that homelessness became the top issue all over L.A.
I'll link the other video so you can see it from a year ago. And this is just to show you what's going on over here in Los Angeles when you let a situation escalate. It's not getting better. It's getting worse.
How homelessness escalated to this point goes back a long time. Part of LA's allure is it's a city where you can have a yard, space. And for most of the last four decades, homeowners voted in much bigger numbers than renters to keep it that way. Local politicians have a history of limiting new housing development and favoring single-family homes, particularly in certain parts of LA, including the city's west side, where Brentwood is. Demand for housing, however, didn't stop, so housing got more and more expensive. At the same time, LA lost a lot of affordable units, too. The homelessness crisis we have today reflects the disparities in who's been hurt the most by this. Black and brown residents. But when a lot of people look around the streets, they don't see a crisis that built up for decades. They see a big mess that seemed to come on suddenly. And on San Vicente Boulevard, many people see at least one way to clean it up. Why can't the veterans just go over the fence, where there's even another campground with tents?
This is where I lost all my respect for the VA. I went to war twice for this, so I could get a tent in my latter years when I needed during a pandemic. All these buildings, all this ground, all this land, and this is the best you have?
This is Gabriel Phillips, the Army veteran waiting to move into the new apartment building, who spoke up during the host town hall meeting. He's looking through the wrought iron fence into the VA campus at what the VA calls CTRS, its campground with the little pup tents, yards away from Veterans Row.
I mean, this is what the VA left us for the pandemic. They said, here you go, this is what we're going to give our best.
Gabriel says he's done living in a tent, on campus or on the street. He wishes he could move into an apartment on that land, but the VA has barely made any progress on its 2015 promise to build more than 1,000 apartments for veterans there. Gabriel and other veterans here feel that residents of Brentwood have more of a say on that campus than they ever will.
Why does Brentwood feel like they have so much claim to our land? I slid into a chat room on Facebook where I was watching how these Brentwood people talk about us, because I have to be able to, you know what I mean? I have to be able to know the enemy. And I even disguised myself as a, you know, Caucasian man. I was like, hey, you know.
Gabriel is black, but put up a picture of a white guy to see what people in Brentwood were saying.
They want us out of here. You know, it's never like, we want you guys out of here, so we're going to house you. It's just like, we want you guys out of here, and we're going to go about it in the most, like, meticulous, annoying ways that rich people can do, because I can do dumb things that you can't do because I'm rich, you know? Like,
Lieutenant Diedrich never came through on his promise to help Gabriel get into his apartment. Turns out, it's not the kind of red tape a cop can cut through in a day. One problem has been that Gabriel started collecting unemployment while waiting to move. Between the higher payments during COVID and his military benefits, his income was suddenly too high for him to qualify for the apartment anymore. He had to work with a social worker and resubmit his financials. Anyway, Gabriel was sheltered while all this was happening. Host's priority is getting people off the sidewalk. It's an early September morning on Veterans Row. It's been a month since that Brentwood Community Council Zoom meeting, and 3 weeks since the town hall, and the host team has just arrived to finally pay their first visit here. They park near one end of the line of tents, get out, and begin to stroll the row.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Sergeant George Suarez tells me they've made a deal with a community center to reserve some beds for veterans at this encampment. It's near downtown LA, about 17 miles away.
So there's 11 beds at the Dream Center for vets, four for families and three for women.
Got it. And is that the main resource that's being offered today?
It's one of the resources. I think they'll be back out tomorrow with additional resources, but that's been made immediately available. to the sheriff's department that they said, we'll open up our doors and bring who you have.
I'm familiar with the Dream Center. It's affiliated with an evangelical megachurch. It has various homelessness and rehab programs that typically require a one-year commitment and a pretty restrictive set of rules. In other words, it's a very specific place, not for everyone. Showing up day one with this as a single option is not the same thing as doing a detailed person-by-person assessment like Lieutenant Diedrich talked about on the Zoom. Today, he says, the veterans are lucky to get this offer. He's chewing on a wad of tobacco as we talk.
It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful opportunity. And so we just hope that they take it.
Still, Diedrich tells me, this is just the very beginning of the assessment. There's going to be more to it and other options besides the Dream Center.
I would say our assessment's going to take a week or 2 weeks because we won't say our assessment's completed until it's truly completed. We won't just stop to say, hey, we did it in a week. We'll talk to every single person. And that protocol has been the key to success in interacting with those experiencing homelessness in a civil and dignified manner with compassion. It adheres to all the judicial rulings in the country.
Judicial rulings? What is he talking about? Well, I'll tell you, and this is where it starts to seem like maybe the veterans, Rob, and the sheriff's deputies are not so aligned on what they really want after all. One reason LA has so many street encampments, besides the sheer scale of the crisis and COVID, has to do with court rulings. One in particular against the city of LA, which says you can't ticket or arrest people for sleeping on sidewalks if there's no shelter available to them. And the city has a serious shortage of shelter beds. So does the county. About 6 months ago, in March, the clearing of Echo Park, which you heard about in episode one, introduced a way to break up big camps without having to solve the shelter shortage. City officials and nonprofits swarm one location, finding beds and housing options for the people living there. And after offering people spots and moving who they can, they send in law enforcement to shut the camp down. Lieutenant Diedrich is saying the host team has perfected a similar process for breaking up large street camps without ticketing or arresting anyone.
And so it's pretty sound in the fact that it's grounded in those constitutional principles and compassion, dignity, you name it, it has that built in.
But make no mistake, it's about clearing the sidewalk. Regulating public space is the priority. Host isn't here to fix problems at the VA or the bureaucratic nightmares around moving a veteran like Gabriel into an apartment.
Yeah, good point.
At one point, while I'm talking to Diedrich, Tara Brennan, the woman who threw barbecues here a few days a week for a while, takes a selfie with Diedrich and one of the veterans.
Okay. Well, here.
Yeah, right here. And then, sir, you pull in the middle of us.
When Diedrich talks to the veterans, he's charming, personable. I follow along as he makes his way down the line of tents. He squats down to talk to a man inside one of them, asks if he deals with addiction, what his drug of choice is. Diedrich says he's not interested in busting the guy for drugs, just in helping him off the street.
Out here, we can have that open conversation. I'm not here to go, hey, you're going to jail.
It's a touching interaction, made less so by the audience standing around watching it, which includes me, but also a sheriff's deputy with a camcorder filming the conversation, and a guy in street clothes who's following Diedrich around, occasionally taking pictures with his phone. I learn his name is Nathan Hawkman. He's running to become California's next attorney general. Later, he posts a video on his website of himself standing in front of the tents at Veterans Row. Unfortunately for him, on a very windy day.
This homeless encampment is made up of mostly vets and sits in front of hundreds of acres of the VA, where they have over 30% of the beds unoccupied. It's within walking distance of schools. Stay tuned because we need to address the challenges and solutions to this homeless crisis.
After the host team finishes for the day, I catch up with Diedrich. He says nobody went to the Dream Center today, which he has a rather cryptic explanation for.
Two people almost went. They were going to go. And then you have a feeling here where there's this an odd pressure to stay, which is disturbing.
What do you mean? a pressure? What kind of pressure?
Yeah. We'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah. Do you mean something, like I assume like other encampments, people here know each other, maybe they feel...
That's normal.
Like a community, right? You think there's something different?
There is something different.
Oh, what do you mean in that?
We'll find out tomorrow.
Do you mean that some of the organizers around this community, like Rob or others, are creating a pressure for people to stay because of the protest aspect of it and sort of enabling? Is that what you mean?
No, I never. So I think the blessing, no, that's not the way to say it. What I learned long ago is I don't pass judgment. And so I heard conflicting things today. I've talked to some of the organizers here. There are multiple issues here. And when one guy told me he came for the project, and then he goes, I'll tell you tomorrow. Okay. And so there's just different competing things, and you have a lot of different organizations. And so sometimes it emboldens people to try to get the best deal, right? And then you have some people who are seriously in need of help and that are considering some of the options. So our job is to present those options. But our thing is our veterans shouldn't be on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Maybe, I wonder, is there a chance maybe some could be moved together to places to maintain the community but get off the sidewalk?
There's an opportunity for 11 of them to go together.
To the Dream Center. But meanwhile, at least 10 veterans are waiting to move together into an apartment building. After Diedrich and the rest of the host team leaves at the end of this first day of the assessment, I ask Rob how he thinks the day went. To him, Diedrich's talk about pressure to stay at the encampment isn't cryptic at all.
I definitely can feel like there may be, you know, trying to build up something to say that I'm keeping people on the sidewalk. I kind of foresee that happening just from some of the questioning that I've been getting.
Rob says what he has been doing is trying to make sure the veterans don't feel pressured into going somewhere that might not be right for them, where they're likely to end up right back out on the street. Rob and the host team both want the veterans off the street, but their priorities are flipped. The sheriff's team wants first and foremost to return the sidewalk to being a sidewalk. Rob wants first and foremost for the veterans to only leave this sidewalk for someplace better.
What's obvious to me is that they're trying to locate bed spaces and kind of do a push to get everyone out as soon as possible.
All right, good news and bad news.
This is Michelle Biznoff a few hours later, kicking off another Brentwood Community Council meeting. It's just after the host team visited Veterans Row to make their first on-the-ground assessment.
If you were tuning in this evening to hear directly from the sheriff, as we anticipated, they have had an urgent issue pop up. They are not going to be able to provide you this information from the horse's mouth.
That's the bad news. Here is the good.
They did provide this update so that we could share it. And I think it's important to note that their process for assessing the encampment has been completed. They are done meeting with social workers, with the VA, with service providers. They are done walking up and down the encampment to get a better sense of who is there and what services they need. And they are now ready to go and get their go order.
Huh. I'm really surprised to hear this. The host team visited once today, and now Michelle is saying they're done. Is she simply wrong, or was what I saw today, in fact, the entire host assessment process? What happened to the 30 days? The next morning, I'm back at Veterans Row for what I think is day two of the host team's assessment, and my first priority is asking Lieutenant Diedrich about what Michelle said last night. As soon as he gets out of his car, I make a beeline to try and get some clarity. It doesn't go over very well.
If I'm not saying it... I'm not getting into that shit already.
Diedrich is obviously not happy. He's not happy about what Michelle said, which he says is the opposite of what he told the BCC. And he's really not happy with me for rushing over to him first thing to ask about it.
Look, I just got out of the car 2.5 hours. I'm a human being, too. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not running for office.
I know that.
And I know every word I say. I know when it can be used against me and when it can't.
I eventually apologized for how I approached him, not because I really think I did anything wrong, but because it seems like the only way to move forward. And we do make peace.
I had a deputy die a week and a half ago. So that's why we didn't start. So I said to them, the assessment is beginning.
That
was my exact words.
The assessment is beginning. It's the second week of September, 2021, about 30 days from where we started with that first Brentwood Community Council meeting with Sheriff Alex Villanueva. A lot of people thought the camp would be gone by now, but this is where the real countdown begins. And I thought I knew how it would go from here. I was wrong.
I looked into his pupils, one dilated, one constricted, really bad. So I turned his head and I had blood on the, I had my hand in the back of his head.
That's next time on City of Tents, Veterans Row. City of Tents, Veterans Row is written, reported, and hosted by me, Anna Scott. Our story editor is Audrey Quinn. Executive produced by Sonia Geis. Sound design, scoring, and mixed by Ray Guarna. Production help and fact-checking by Alexandra Applegate. Special thanks to Miguel Contreras, Madeline Brand, Lou Olkowski, and Ryan Kyloff.